You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for He is
good. Yes, He is good. As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you. Lord, we praise you and we worship you and we give thanks for this day. Thank you for your faithfulness and your loving kindness toward us. As we begin this broadcast, we ask that your Holy Spirit would just flow and just move. Speak to us of things of the kingdom of God, things of heaven, that we may hear it, that it may take root in our hearts, that we are able to live it with a confidence and a faith and a trust that we serve a God who loves us so perfectly. And that perfect love cast out all fear. So have your way in this broadcast. I thank you that no weapon formed against it shall prosper. That the words that go forth will accomplish the very purposes for which they are being sent. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pat Randall. Amen. And we are starting on part two of the message, Waiting on God. This is a series. I don't know how long it's going to take, but we're just going to flow with the Holy Spirit and just allow Him to have His way. I began the groundwork for this series starting with two scriptures. And as we move through the messages, we'll continue to look at other scriptures. But I'm going to read the two that I just mentioned that actually started the groundwork for me putting together this message. And the first one is Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This scripture talks, well, it's speaking of giving up, losing hope, unless you believe, have a confidence and a faith that you are going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that's in the earth right now, believing that you are going to see the goodness of the Lord. To not lose hope, to not be discouraged, to not be depressed, but be of good courage. And what that does for us, it opens up our heart to be strengthened by the Spirit of God. He will strengthen our heart so that we are able to wait on Him. The second scripture is James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's various temptations, all types. And these temptations are also referring to trials and challenges. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting in nothing. In some of the other Bible versions, because what I just read was King James, the word patience is replaced by endurance. And in some, it is replaced by forbearance. Amen. So, in order for us to wait on God, patience has to be present. It has to be present, or you will not be able to wait on God. Waiting on God is an active state. It's not a laid-back position, but it's one of pursuit. We are pursuing God. That is what we're pursuing. Sometimes we get sidetracked because we think we're pursuing things and conditions and circumstances and, you know, open doors. And that's how we start out. We're pursuing things. But really what our soul wants is God. So in actuality, until we clear out the fog and the debris and all the distractions and that is when we discover that what we are doing is we're pursuing God. To wait on God is knowing God. Knowing God is ongoing. And because there's no beginning and there's no end to Him, we can continually know Him as He continually reveals Himself to us. He's past finding out. So we just go through this process of knowing, just getting deeper and deeper in our knowing Him. Amen. And having intimate fellowship through prayer and worship and praise and listening and seeing and continually receiving and continually surrendering, that is all part of waiting on God. We can do nothing without Him. We can do nothing without Him. We need Him. The other thing to keep in mind is that while we're waiting on God, most of the time there is going to be an intense warfare going on. The enemy is always around. He's always using some sort of tactic. Even though he's powerless, he still has the ability to influence, as in my previous series, if we don't stay woke, if we're not alert to the schemes of the enemy, so that we easily recognize them. And the way we are able to recognize him is by staying connected with the Lord. And we also have to gain an understanding and a wisdom on how to do battle. And there's no better teacher than the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Also, during this waiting on God, there is also a lot of unlearning going on. I mean, we learn a lot of things. We learn things, the things that we've learned from the world, and even the things that we've learned in the church environment. God is clearing out these untruths, because they weaken our faith. If we don't have right believing, it will weaken our faith. And that is what it's designed to do, which is the another of the enemy's scheme. It within the church is this false doctrine. Because with false doctrine, you have the appearance of godliness, but then there's no power. So we are always waiting on God. This is a process. This is a process that we will go on, and we are waiting on God our entire lives until Christ returns. Because that's part of the waiting too, his return, the return of our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 So we are going to learn how to wait in this series, because there's a right way to wait and there's a wrong way to wait. In the scriptures, when it speaks of waiting on God, it is speaking of looking eagerly to him, hoping in him, and expecting. Sometimes waiting means to stay right where you are. As you wait. It may be a delay of action until a particular time or until something else happens. And for us, when there's a delay in action or when we are to stay where we are, physically stay where we are, we're waiting to hear from God until he gives further instructions or he gives revelation. Amen. Because he is the one that orders our steps. And so there's different aspects of waiting, because it can appear in our lives in different ways, and sometimes we may not even recognize that that's what's happening in our lives. Sometimes we get into places in our lives where we're not sure what to do. We know we can't go back, but we don't know what we need to do to go forward. And that can become a period of waiting where you just stop. Sometimes you just need to stop and take a break, have an intermission, you know, where there's no movement in the natural. But just because in the natural there's no movement, there is movement always happening in the spirit realm. God is always moving. God is always moving and moving on our behalf. Just think about it as it pertains to our salvation, that he was busy orchestrating things and allowing things to happen to kind of steer us and direct us and move us toward him, where we would see him and accept him, accept his salvation, accept that forgiveness, be born again. And this was going on while we didn't even know him. Patience. Let's look at patience. Patience implies suffering, enduring, or waiting. And it's a determination of our will. We have to choose it. We have to choose it. We have access to patience. Patience also means the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, or to patiently deal with trouble and suffering without becoming angry or upset. Here are some other words that have the same meaning as patience. Forbearance. Even-tempered. Calmness. Endurance. When I think about calmness, I think about peace. Peace is a part of patience. And Jesus said that he is our peace. When we have God's peace, we can patiently wait. Serenity, tranquility, equilibrium, understanding, perseverance, persistence, staying power, singleness of purpose, determination. All of this is part of patience. All of this is part of waiting on God. Last week, I listed some things in my life that are being purged, that were purged and are being purged as a result of my really focusing on what it means and how to live by waiting on God. Because I sincerely want to have a lifestyle of waiting on God, understanding that I need him. I need him in everything that I do, in every area of my life. I need God. I'm going to look at one of the things that I had in that list. So if you didn't listen to last week's message, go back, listen to last week's message, and you'll see, you'll hear, some of the things that I placed on the list. And it's not everything, but I just, some of the things that I felt were key in my process of learning how to wait on God. I listed those. And but right today, I'm just going to think about this one, which is what others think. Being purged of what others think. What they think of me, what they think of other people, and most importantly, what they think about God. What people think about me. What people think about you. One of the things that can cause us to be overly concerned about what people think about you is having an orphan spirit. It will make you more concerned than you need to be about what others speak. This orphan spirit is a deception of the enemy. He definitely doesn't want you to know who you are. So if he can make you feel like you're different from other people or that you don't belong, then he knows that he is actually draining away the power that God has placed in your life. And you're unable to move with confidence. And you're always looking to what others think about what you do, what you say, what your accomplishments are. For me, in my natural life, I was orphaned. And the enemy used that. And when I say I was orphaned in the natural realm. I was not raised by my parents, but that's a whole nother story why I was not raised by my parents. But anyway, the enemy used that to convince me of a lot of things that made me feel insecure. The other interesting thing that I've discovered is that you may have been, as I was, in the natural, an orphan. But there are people who have both of their natural parents who were raised in a household with parents, and they end up with this orphan spirit. Some lie or lies have been accepted by them about who they are. What people think about others, or what someone thinks about another person. That corrupt communication that we come into contact with doesn't necessarily have to even be like corrupt communication in terms of something being negative, but it can also be someone who is idolizing another, and you can be influenced by that. You don't want to be influenced by people's negative opinions of others, but neither do you want to be influenced by people's idolization of others. We see it in the world, and we also see it in the church, where we put these people on pedestals because we feel that they're in some place that is higher and greater than where we are. But what we have to remember, what God is calling us to, is not to idolize or not to criticize others or in any way participate in corrupt communications about others, but He is calling us to move in love. He's calling us to love. And this love comes from Him. He loves us, and we love. He loves us first, and then we love. And God's love is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't respond to titles, positions, and reputations and accomplishments. And next, what people think about God. Or we can be strongly, especially through teaching. We hear people speaking, and what we hear when they're teaching, they're teaching from the place where they are. It's where they are. Where they are in their relationship with God will determine how they share the message of the gospel. If they believe that God is angry, that God will punish, it will come through their teaching. These are the eyes that they will see through when they read Scripture. And it will influence their interpretation of the Scriptures. It'll influence what they believe is revelation from the Scriptures. In order to really know God, you have to remember that He is love, that He first loved us. He loved us even while we were enemies of God. He loved us. He sent His Son into the world so that the world might be saved. Jesus gave His life even knowing that everyone would not receive Him. But He died for all of mankind. And we have to remember that the Scripture is more than letter, but it is spirit, it is life. And so we need the Spirit of God to reveal the truth. We need the Spirit of God to give us a perspective of God's love as we read the Scriptures. Your mind will try to tell you what a Scripture means. Your mind. Your intellect. But you must wait for the Spirit of God to reveal to your mind what the word of the Lord is speaking. So don't be so quick in assigning a truth or meaning to a Scripture without meditating and allowing God to speak to you about the Scripture. Even when you're looking at a circumstance or a person, in order to see the reality of that circumstance or the reality of that person, and not just the surface level, you must wait for the Spirit of God to reveal this to you and not jump to these snap judgments. Everything has to be tested by the Spirit of God. and especially our thoughts. Our thoughts have to be tested by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. So beware of an intellectual gospel. Because an intellectual gospel becomes nothing more than a self-help program. Do this, and you'll get this result. That's what the world is offering us, this self-help thing. There's tons of self-help books. Then you got psychology and psychiatry. Remember, there's no formulas in the kingdom. There's only life, the life of Christ. And that is what we must touch. For me, getting into, well, I won't say getting into, but having that mindset of I'm concerned about what others think led to a performance-driven life for me. I performed for others. I performed to be accepted by others. More so for me, my performance was for my family. Not having my mom and my dad and having a household that I was being raised by them, by two parents, I relied on others taking care of me. And I think I've shared before on the broadcast that I live between two households in two different states. I live between a segregated South in the state of Alabama and in New York City where there was integration. So that alone is just two like polar opposite environments. But I learned to perform to be accepted. I learned it at a young age without even realizing what it was. But that was when I was a child. This whole thing about waiting on God is to lead us into a maturity. To be mature saints. Letting go of things like performing for others, being concerned about what they think. So you perform a certain way to get a certain response from people. And then performing for myself. Can you imagine that? On top of that, I had to perform for myself so I could continue to feel good about who I was. So it was all about my accomplishments, how smart I was, how well I did in school, how well I did on job. I mean, it was all about my accomplishments, what I could do. What I could achieve. So I could feel good about myself. That's a real trap. Performing for yourself. You're performing for other people. And now you're performing for yourself. And you know what that leads to? Performing for God. Believing that you have to, He can only love you through your performance. So if you're performing well, He's loving you, He's pleased with you. And if you're performing badly, He's displeased with you. And he pulls his love away. And that's dangerous, too, because I remember years back when things would happen, I would think that, I would believe that I was being punished by God. And when I think about that, how it must have hurt God's heart. Because he loved me so much, but I didn't know it. I didn't know about this unconditional love. Praise God. Praise God for his goodness. Praise God for sending his son, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. As believers, as we start to break through some of this performing for others and being concerned about what they think and performing for yourself and tying your identity to accomplishments, you still have to be mindful of what you think about life itself. What you think about your life and your life as it pertains to your relationship with God. You know, you hear so many saints talking about that they want to do great things for God and they want to be used by God and they, you know, they just want to do great exploits for God. And we have to be careful with that mindset. Because we are fruit-bearing trees in the kingdom of God. And we bear this fruit because we're staying connected with God. So our lives become fruitful. I'm going to read this scripture, James. It's a good reminder. It's a good reminder because so often we don't wait on God even when we do ministry. When we're doing and when we're involved in good works, we fail to check in with God to see if this is something that he wants us to do. I remember I was listening to Joyce Myers and in one of her teachings, and she said something that was really profound about doing good works and what we have to be mindful of when we do good works. So let me see if I can find it. Otherwise, I'm going to just try and paraphrase it. Okay. Found it. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Okay. So I heard Joyce Meyer say this in her teachings. And I sat and I thought about this. Because God had been speaking to me that there is a difference in doing a good work and doing the good work that he has prepared beforehand. Amen. For me to do. Hallelujah. So Joyce says it like this. There is no value in a work done excellently that should not have been done. No value. Even though it may have been done excellently, there's no value in it if it shouldn't have been done. God didn't ask you to do it. You have to be patiently waiting on God in order to do things that actually will stand forever have eternal value. You know, we are eternal creatures. We're eternal beings. And we have to think about what we do has to have an eternal impact. Even though we are living here in a temporal world where things pass away, we have to remember that how we live, we have to live it from the perspective of an eternal being. We can set up organizations. They can come and go. They can be well remembered, or they can something can go wrong and then all of a sudden it's discredited, whatever. But our thinking has to be of one who recognizes that they are an eternal being. An eternal being. We're so used to living in this world where we go after things, temporal things, things that will fade away. Hallelujah. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Well, let me read this. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. This is a good one. This is such a good verse. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit brought this up because it's a good reminder for me, because it's very easy for us to get caught up in all of our planning. I mean, we've been trained to plan and make a five-year plan or in a short-term plan and a long-term plan. And you know, that's what we do. We believe that there's no success without all of this planning. In one sense, it's okay to plan. But once you plan, just let it go. Let it go and wait on God. Because you always want to be a part of his plan. What is God's plan? Well, anyway, let me get to James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Come now and pay attention to this. You who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and carry on our business and make a profit. Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen in your life tomorrow, what is secure in your life. You are merely a vapor, like a puff of smoke or a wisp of steam from a cooking pot, that is visible for a little while and then vanishes into thin air. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and we will do this or that. But as it is, you boast vainly in your pretension and arrogance. All such boasting is evil. That's pretty strong, isn't it? All such boasting is evil. Wow. Because sometimes, you know, even with this whole thing about doing great things for God and God wanting us to be great and walk in greatness, which is true. But we have to wait on God. We don't want to walk in some self-designed greatness. But we want to walk in the greatness of God. We want to be one with Him. Living, moving, and having our being in Him. That's a journey. And it challenges us. It challenges us. It challenges our way of thinking. It challenges our attitudes. But we don't give up. We persevere. We let patience have its perfect work in our lives so that we're mature and that we're complete and that we're not lacking in anything. We want to be mature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our hope is in God. We will never be put to shame by waiting on God. Never, ever be put to shame because we waited on Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you, God, that we just continue to surrender to your spirit and to your word. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Move, Holy Spirit. Move, Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts in this moment. I thank you that there is a rest remaining for the people of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you that there's healing taking place. And some of us are waiting for a physical manifestation of healing. But just know in the spirit realm that it already exists. And you're waiting for it to manifest itself in the natural realm. But just rest and wait on God. Just rest and wait on God. Be very purposeful when you go through the various trials and the testing of your faith. Letting patience have its perfect work with you. Even in your healing, let patience have its perfect work in you. It's because it's not just about your physical healing. God is getting to the root cause. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I want to end today's message with this scripture from Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. You know, we're in a season where there is so much that is saying to us that we should be fearful, that we should worry, that we should be anxious. But that's why we need to wait on God. Look only to Him, not to the government, not to your job, your employer, but your expectations are in Him and Him alone. Ephesians 4, 13 through 15. Until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting His spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity, so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. But speaking the truth in love, in all things, both our speech and our lives expressing His truth, let us grow up in all things into Him, following His example, who is the head, Christ. It's time for us to stop being tossed back and forth, carried away by every wind of doctrine, falling prey to the cunning trickery of unscrupulous men, because we don't patiently wait on God. That's the place where we mature and we grow up. In this place of waiting on God, waiting for His voice, waiting to see what He sees, waiting to know and understand what He knows and understands, waiting on His instructions, His guidance, His leading. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for moving through this hour, Lord. Your Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Have your way. Have your way with us, Lord. We thank you that we will just continually submit and surrender. But more importantly, that we're continually receiving from you. Receiving your love. Your perfect love that casts out all fear. That we don't have to move and make decisions out of fear or out of confusion. That we can wait on you, patiently wait on you, right now in the land of the living, and see your goodness. Have the victory that you have prepared for us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Amen and amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. God is so good to us. He loves us so, so, so much. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. Amen. Amen. Okay, so Friday Night Joy. Join Reverend Ray, Pastor Ray Rose, hallelujah, at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, amen. And then on Sunday, we've got Bread of Life, and that's also at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, amen. So thank you so much for being here with me, and for those who will probably listen to the podcast later, I know it may be difficult to stop in the middle of the day, especially your work day, and listen to this message. But, you know, it'll be a podcast after after it is aired, and you're able to listen to it at any time, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/whenchristianspeak and look for it, or go to our Facebook page and you'll see a link posted out there for declaring the finished work, and you can click on that link or copy it and paste it into your internet browser and listen to this message, listen to it as much, but just be reminded of how important it is for us. You know, waiting on God means that we're living and moving and having our being in Him. We're not living outside of Him, but we're living within Him. Amen. Amen. Remember Jesus' prayer in John, that we would be one with Him and the Father. That was His prayer for us. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Amen. Glory to God. Love you.
And I